Language can be a funny old thing, can't it? Have you ever noticed there are certain words which, even though we use them almost daily, I guess most of us would struggle to define. Words like the. How did you define the? If you want a kind of dictionary definition, it's the definite article. That doesn't help very much, and neither does it help that you have to have the word the in its own definition. Who? That. Which? Words we use regularly, I thought I knew what that and which meant. But the spell checker on my computer persistently tells me that I'm using the wrong one at the wrong time. There are words like that. There are other words which we use which there's more content to them than that, but it's really hard to define. Here's another one. Love. We know what it is. Well, at least we think we do. But how can we define it? It's really tricky. And there's another word like that. Faith. It seems to me that when people use that word, it can mean a whole range of things. People sometimes say things like, oh, I wish I had your faith. I wish I had as much faith as you. What do they mean? It makes faith sound like a sort of commodity that you can get more of or have less of. Is that right? Is that what faith means? Is it kind of something you have to work up in yourself? We're continuing our series on Jesus on discipleship. Looking at some of the things which Jesus said, which relate to growing as disciples ourselves, but also which relate to the question which those who sometimes aren't yet disciples might have, and how we sort of help them. And I think faith is one of those issues, especially when you hear something that Jesus says in tonight's reading, when he tells a woman, "You have great faith." What does it mean to have great faith? Let's turn to the passage where Jesus says that. Carol's going to come and read for us.
Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, the faith of a Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord.
I think it always kind of throws us when someone does something that just seems completely out of character. You know, when you discover that someone you'd always thought was honest has told a lie. Or when someone who's usually very calm and placid blows up big time. Now, of course, lying, losing your temper, not good things anyway. But somehow, I think it just kind of strikes you even more when it's not what you'd expect from someone. And you find yourself looking for an explanation. Is there actually some other way of understanding what's gone on here? Because it doesn't have to just involve someone losing their temper. It could just be when someone you know to be caring and compassionate says something that just seems callous and unfeeling. It just makes you wonder whether you've really heard them correctly. And I think that's probably our natural response to hearing how Jesus responded to the woman who came to see him in this passage. Jesus and his disciples had made one of their very rare excursions outside Israel. Almost the whole of Jesus' recorded ministry was spent either in Galilee or in Judea. Just before this, he'd been in the region of Galilee. And so Matthew 14 ends. When they'd crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. I guess that's the picture of Jesus that we're familiar with. Full of compassion, ready to heal those who were brought to him, who needed his touch. But now, just after that, he goes over the border into Tyre and Sidon, foreign territory. And this woman comes to him, a woman whose daughter was seriously ill. And she begged Jesus to heal her. This was just another sufferer, just like the hundreds who'd been flocking to him. But this time, Jesus does nothing. Jesus did not answer a word. Surely, surely this isn't the Jesus we know, or we think we know. Now, the woman was a Canaanite. The Canaanites were the great historic enemies of the Jews. Think back to the era of the Judges, which we are studying in our morning services at the moment. But that was maybe 1,200 years earlier. By this time, it was the Romans who were the big enemy. The Canaanites were just another oppressed minority. And this was someone who was suffering. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Yeah, maybe she was a Canaanite. But the real enemy was the devil. He was at work here. But Jesus does nothing. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. This is becoming a bit of a theme in this series with the disciples. A couple of weeks ago, we heard about parents bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples' response was, send them away. And now a woman comes, and the disciples' response is, send them away. How do you get the impression that the disciples wanted Jesus all to themselves? Actually, the response that Jesus makes, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, if that was a response to what the disciples had said, it seems most probable that what the disciples meant was, give this woman what she wants and then get rid of her. And Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus knew that he'd come to earth with a specific mission. Jesus was a Jew, and his mission was to be the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of his people. But where does that leave us? Was he just writing this woman off? It may just seem that way at first, but if he was writing her off, it would pretty well write us off as well. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But this woman was not about to give up. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Canaanite or not, surely that would be enough to melt Jesus' heart. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What? Jesus seems to have gone from saying nothing to being downright insulting, calling the woman a dog. Surely, surely now she will get the point and go away, hurt and disillusioned. But she doesn't. She hangs on in there. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And finally, Jesus does what she wants. But it just isn't the Jesus we know, is it? And I think when you find someone acting out of character, the most likely thing is that you actually haven't understood what's going on. And we find Jesus acting in a way that seems so un-Jesus-like. Maybe there's more going on here than we've actually noticed. Just before this, earlier in Matthew 15, Jesus had been under attack from the religious leaders of Israel. So in Matthew 15:1, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." They clearly not understood who Jesus was. They saw him as just some traveling teacher, and this traveling teacher was not measuring up to their standards. So they went on the attack. But actually, Jesus' disciples weren't much better. So after trying to explain all this to his disciples, by Matthew 15:16, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked his disciples. Religious leaders and the disciples, they were not understanding who Jesus was. And then as they go into this foreign territory, this Canaanite woman starts crying out, "Lord, Son of David." It's amazing. What the rest, who ought to have understood, couldn't understand, this woman somehow did understand. She recognized who Jesus was. But more than that, she realized that she couldn't try to bargain with Jesus. The religious leaders thought that faith was about right actions, that if you lived in the right way, God would accept you. They thought you had to earn God's favor. But this woman said nothing to try to justify asking for Jesus' help. There was no, "Jesus, I've always done my best to be a good person, so please help me." All there was, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I've done nothing to deserve it. But because you're the Son of David, have mercy on me." It's amazing, her focus is entirely on Jesus. She is depending entirely on him. But the disciples weren't having it. This wretched woman disturbing their break, and a Canaanite at that. They just wanted rid of her. Give her what she wants and then tell her to clear off. See, it was actually the disciples who were wanting this Gentile woman got rid of, not Jesus. And then Jesus says, well, what exactly did Jesus say? What we've got here in the NIV is a good literal translation. I checked it up. But of course, one of the problems with translation is you cannot get the inflection of words. And it would be perfectly legitimate to paraphrase it like this. He answered, "But wasn't I only sent to the lost sheep of Israel?" He's challenging his disciples, not the woman. It's like he's saying to the disciples, "Well, don't you think that God only cares about the Jews? You don't want this Canaanite woman around, so I can't give her what I want, what she wants, can I?" And did you notice that actually shut the disciples up? I think they knew that Jesus was getting at them. But it did not shut the woman up. She knew who Jesus was, the Son of David, the Messiah. So she comes up to him. "Lord, help me." And Jesus, I think still going along, playing the disciples' prejudice, says literally, "It's not right to give the children's bread to puppies. I've only come for the Jews, haven't I? So it would be wrong of me to help you, because that might mean I haven't got enough power left to help my own people." And I think that by this time, Jesus was kind of really engaging with this woman, and the disciples were really feeling, oh, got it wrong again. And the woman says, I just love this, one writer puts it like this. Yes, but even pups eat up crumbs, don't they? With the unspoken implication. And let's face it, Jesus, your bread is so wonderful, the crumbs will do just fine for me. See, I think that makes best sense of a passage where Jesus seems to be being callous to this woman, because we know that Jesus is not like that. And it's a bit of a put down for his disciples. But as I said, only a few verses before this, he had to say to them, are you still so dull? What's really going on here is actually Jesus helping his disciples to see the real nature of discipleship and faith. So what does it have to say to us about discipleship? Well, as we've seen before, it's actually Jesus' disciples who show us how it shouldn't be done. When this woman approaches, what they wanted to do was to get rid of her, because she is not one of us. She's an outcast. She's a Canaanite. She's different. Send her away. She doesn't belong. Of course, we'd never be so crass as to do anything like that, would we? Not to drive someone actively away like that. But if we're honest, we can all too easily passively drive someone away by not welcoming them because they don't seem to fit, by not getting alongside them because we don't naturally get on with them, by not encouraging them because they're just different to us. But see, the thing is, if someone has recognized who Jesus is, then our job is to welcome and nurture them, no matter how different to us they seem. That was what the disciples should have been doing. I do wonder how many people there are, even maybe in Morton, who've never become started following Jesus, because somebody or some people who were Christians had actually treated them like the disciples treated this woman here. It's tragic, but it happens. But what about the question we started with? What does this tell us about faith? Then Jesus said to a woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Can you have kind of bigger or lesser quantities of faith? Is it something you can kind of measure out like that? I have to say, I don't think the Bible would support that idea. The Bible talks about either you've got faith or you haven't got faith. You see, the key thing with faith is not kind of something subjective inside you. It's what you have faith in. This woman had faith in Jesus. She recognized who he was, and then she acted on that. And that is faith. The woman knew she had no right to expect anything from Jesus. He didn't owe her anything. She just cast herself on his mercy because she knew enough about him to know that he was full of mercy. You see, I think that when Jesus said that she had great faith, he meant that she had persistent faith, a genuine faith in him that understood who he was, and because she understood who he was, she didn't give up. And that's faith. It is all about putting your trust in Jesus. It isn't something that you have to try to work up in yourself and for yourself. It isn't something where what matters is that you have faith and it doesn't matter what you have your faith in as long as you've got faith. That is a meaningless sort of idea biblically. In the Bible, having faith is having faith in Jesus. And your faith becomes greater as you know Jesus better. Because then you are more confident in trusting him. You know more about him and therefore it's easier for you to trust him. As the great missionary Hudson Taylor said, What's important isn't great faith in God, but faith in a great God. And that's what this woman had. She knew that Jesus, as the Son of David, was the one who could heal her daughter. So she didn't let the disciples put her off. I guess that the aim of any disciple would be to hear Jesus say, "You have great faith." Well, if we want to hear that, it doesn't come from being like his disciples here. It actually comes from knowing him. It comes from spending time with him in his word, recognizing more of his greatness, and then just acting on that.